This story is the introduction to what is often called the Little Apocalypse. The important thing to recognize about this speech is that it communicates on two levels. It is, first of all, Jesus' prophecy about what will happen in the future. It is also a prophecy that is a description of what is happening in Mark's day and time. This is probably the most direct description of the events of what was happening in Mark's time as we have anywhere in the gospel tradition. That time was the time of the Jewish war. Mark was probably written in the immediate aftermath of that war and the destruction of the temple. The story begins with that allusion. Not one stone will be left here upon another. The probability is that Jesus' statement here refers to something that has just happened and that all of Mark's listeners know about. It was the greatest tragedy in the entire history of Israel. Jesus' voice is probably a voice of grief. All Jews, from then until now, grieve at the loss of the temple. It is far more appropriate for this to be told in a spirit of grief than, as is often the case, as a note of judgment. Jesus' voice in the rest of this discourse is addressed to his four friends, and they are asking him privately about the signs of the coming of the kingdom of God, and how will they know that all these things that Jesus has been talking about throughout their time together will be accomplished. These are words that speak directly to the experience of Mark's listeners. So the first injunction is to beware that no one leads them astray. Now, this has already happened in the experience of the war. Many came saying, "I am the one who will set you free." And they led the people of Israel into this disastrous war. The probability is that there will continue to be those who will seek to lead the people astray. This warning became, in the period following the war, a primary description of a crime that was identified by the Jamnia Council. This identification as a crime is clearly reflected in the Gospel of John, in which Jesus and those who would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ are charged with leading the people astray. It is on the basis of this indictment that they seek to kill Jesus. The danger and the tragedy of the leading astray of the people during the period leading up to and then including the war was the source of this indictment. No one ever wanted it to happen again. Jesus' words are then told in Mark's context in the immediate aftermath of the war. In part, his statement about the wars and not being alarmed is then directed to those who might follow him to be calm in the context of the period of the war, and that this is an inevitable dimension of the coming of the kingdom of God. The end is not yet. These are but the birth pangs of the new age. The old age, dominated by the powers of this world, is coming to an end. This is a way of understanding the context of the war. This end of the old age will be followed by a period of peace, of a new age in which the powers of God will be in control. Jesus' teaching is about hope. It is also about the immediacy of the promise of new life in the midst of the disaster that has been experienced by the community of Israel. My suggestion is then that you tell this in a calm and highly intimate way, as you would if you were talking to four people in front of you who are dealing with a major national disaster. In the context of Mark's time, the disasters relating to the end of the war make 9/11 look like a minor incident. The voice of Jesus and the voice of Mark are calm and wise in regard to how to respond to this unspeakable tragedy.